we're talking about this now, and I'm like, I have so much to do between now and the director's meeting, so much to do after. Oh, yeah, pace of life. Yeah, I can feel
it. Like, guys, I got to go.
Right.
Can we hurry up this podcast?
See, I just feel it's funny. My heartbeat is like, not on the podcast necessarily, but just to pray and say, like, just on your behalf in this moment, Jesus, like, what do you want to say about all that? Yeah. Like, what do you want to say about that right now, right here today?
Yeah. Yeah. First off, you're free to go if you need to go.
Oh, no, 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 I want to stay. And it's just real inside me. And just even to go in this moment, breathe it. Could Jesus give me what I'm going to need?
Yes.
Please give me what I need.
Right.
Mm. And immediately I just heard, I will. So that's good. But the other part is, did I schedule this really badly? Oh.
Friends, welcome back to the Ransom Heart Podcast. We just wanted to share this honest moment with you. This is part two of a conversation about sustainability. Like, what is a life that is sustainable? And we just needed to...
Oh, man.
We needed to let you into the honesty. So yes. You've tuned into the Ransomed Heart Podcast with Stacy and John Eldridge, Morgan Snyder. What are some choices, was where we left off last time. What are some of the things that you've tried to implement, knowing that interruption comes? What are some of the things you've tried to implement towards a sustainable life? Morgs, can you just name a couple?
You know, we're in a decade of maximum activity, right? We have budding teenagers and it's carpooling. And wow, just the amount of external activity is staggering. And where my hope rises and what I've seen is life is a breath away. Gone, mostly, are the big 3 days of solitude. Gone are the half a day. Gone is a whole cigar. That's gone. Like, a few puffs is generous, right?
Yeah.
But life is close. Life is near. Yeah. I mean, Stacey, I felt yesterday how you just described you feel today about your schedule. And I had intentions of getting outside, because one of my kind of spiritual practices is outside every day. Mm. And the worse the weather, in some ways, the better for my soul, just to feel nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I get outside in some form every day. And yesterday I was going to get a long run in, and well, it didn't happen. Life got full and divine disruptions and interruptions, and work was full, and I had to go get Joshua at lacrosse practice. Well, I have learned, grab the micro, grab the pieces. God is actively initiating my soul care. Mm. And so as soon as I turn to him and say, what's available? And so here was the pull, is cram in more activity and get there just in time to pick him up. Mm-hmm. That's the pull, right? And then it was, well, I'll just park and go for a run, a short run, but I'll listen to some audios that I have to edit while I'm running. And then it was, nope. And then it was, well, I'll just listen to an inspirational audio, kind of like the Ransom Heart Podcast. Like Jesus said, no, you've learned, just be with me. Be with me. So no headphones. And I'm running in suburbia, you know, a concrete jungle. And I took a 30-minute run, and afterwards, I budgeted time for two really important soulful things. One was some stretching in the dirt. So I'm literally this little patch of just gross dirt and cactus, and I'm on the earth, and I can feel my soul being revived. And we're talking like 4 minutes here, five minutes. And then instead of just squeezing it in and getting Joshua and blasting home to dinner, I budgeted enough time to just sit and watch him practice. And just watching my son and watching his body growing and the living parable of there are no shortcuts for practicing something that you want to grow in. Mm. And so here I am, my body's feeling better, I'm in nature and it's cold, weather's moving in, I don't have the right layers, but I'm feeling the kingdom reviving me. And we're talking about a few small choices in a very short amount of time.
Yes.
But because God has compassion on my season, he multiplied its impact on my soul.
Okay. We're getting to a couple really helpful principles that I wanted to make sure we included in this series. And one of them is this: when I am tired, weary, burnout, I feel like what I need is, I need a week. I think I have to take unpaid vacation. All those thoughts.
Yes.
Like, I have to cancel everything. You hit May Day.
Yes.
You know, and it just feels like if I'm going to get better right now, the way I feel, if I'm going to get better, I need to go away. But what I've discovered over the years is that usually my tired soul is not the best person to tell me what I need.
That's good.
Okay. And that quite often, if I have 3 hours, mm-hmm. I thought I needed a week.
Yes.
But if I get a half a day, it actually, or a couple hours, I'm always shocked, is what I'm trying to say. My tired soul miscalculates what I need for my restoration. And I've been at places in my life a number of times where I just thought, oh no, like I'm not well. Like I am deeply soul tired, deeply exhausted. I think I need months. Maybe I need to quit. You know, all those thoughts, right? When in fact, it was the 2-day weekend that I protected that I come back from and I'm completely renewed. And like, really? I thought I needed like a month, you know, or I thought I needed a week. I gotta take my vacation now. And Jesus says, just give me this evening. Let's just start with this evening and see how you're doing. And at the end of a 3-hour evening, I'm good. I'm restored. So that's just one principle. Your tired soul will often overreact.
Yes.
And you think, this is bad. And I need massive amounts of restoration in order to be in a better place. When in fact, God may have some very lovely things for you that will do the job within the life that you currently have.
Yes.
Because you can't quit your job right now. Mm-hmm. You can't take a 3-month vacation, you know, and he knows that. So that's one principle. All right. I want to name a few more things about sustainable life. And then I want to get to what do you do with divine intrusions and the fact that Schaefer says, look, this thing's going to be exhausting. I just got to tell you right now, there's going to be tears and weariness. And okay. So before we get there, a few more things towards sustainability. Morgan, I know you guys shared on a podcast at some point, like you stopped bringing your phones into the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Like no news before bed,
oh,
no
yeah.
texting before bed, no, you know, just little boundaries.
Right.
Little boundaries that we can begin to kind of set up in our life. I don't look at my phone first thing in the morning. You know, I get tea and prayer. You know, I feed the dogs, I breathe, little things like that. And, you know, we've tried to create a reasonable life here at Ransomed Heart where we've learned big events, anything that you call a big event, try and separate those by several weeks. If you have the choice, mm-hmm. try not to stack big things together. Mm-hmm. You know, Christmas with a visit with somebody's, you know, Four Streams intervention with that book you're trying to write or whatever.
Right.
And you don't stack big things together. Try and spread those things out. That's one thing we've learned about sustainability. Can we name a couple others?
Sure. Like another one for me, I'd call it the liturgy of life, but building in liturgy seems to take away the fatigue of choices. Mm-hmm. For example, like one of the family liturgies we have is pizza night. We make pizza every Friday night. And we found this rhythm of it takes off the decision
uh-huh.
of what are we going to do? What are we going to eat? Sherry doesn't have to cook.
Yep.
Whatever's in the fridge, we make pizza out of that. We don't go to the store,
yeah.
right? And yeah. it's not a social night. It's just our family because I'm aware on an average week, I'm pretty vulnerable on a Friday just because I've given a lot to a lot of people. It's not a good night to engage people.
Yeah.
And so we make it family. We always have pizza and I make the pizza with the children. And there's just a liturgy to that that helps us with the fatigue that comes from even choices. And that's an example of quite a few liturgies we've just built into a weekly schedule.
Yeah, we always do this.
Yes.
And then that way the family and everybody gets into a rhythm
right.
of it.
Right.
Yeah, that's good. You have a smile on your face.
I am not doing this well right now. I am really aware that I'm in a season where I have not protected my life and a sustainability, and I'm aware of what I used to do. You have eyes on my life. Am I doing anything, John? See, he can't think of anything either.
Hang on. I think you're feeling some accusation and you're feeling overwhelmed when in fact you actually live really well. You actually live really well. And so last Sunday, here's the story from last Sunday. We had a day off. I came out and I said, I have an idea. Why don't we go down to the river, which is about an hour and a half away? Let's take the dogs. Let's go down. Let's just play. Let's have a picnic kind of thing. And your reaction was, no way.
I have to do laundry.
I'm overwhelmed.
I've got so much with the bills to do. Yeah. They are a disaster. I need to work on this and I will feel so much better at the end of the day if I do these things. But right, it was coming from a place, like not letting your weary soul make these decisions. It was coming from a place of weariness and being overwhelmed.
Definitely overwhelmed. Yeah. So we stopped and I said, okay, fine. Let's take the pressure off the day. We don't have to go anywhere. So that's important.
That felt really good.
Take the pressure off, right? And then why don't we pray a little bit? And especially about feeling overwhelmed and that sort of thing. We had this really significant time of prayer.
Very.
After which...
Right, my heart rose to the surface and I said, let's go to the river. Yay!
Still with laundry, still with bills.
Right? It's shrunk.
Yes.
It had shrunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, we went down, we had a lovely time, picnic, da-da-da, got back, and it was only a four-hour block to get away. And it was sufficient. Mm-hmm. It was lovely. Yes. We were renewed by that, right? And even we're able to get into some things later. I mean, you know, I finished our taxes. Like there were some things that still needed to do.
Right, and because of the space and the room for our souls, it led us to have one of the best conversations in our lives.
Yeah,
you know, for me personally, and that drive,
it was huge.
But we had to have the space for it.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, so here's another couple examples. Little stuff, little things. So the other night, we were making dinner and I was kind of driving that. And you said, I feel really rushed. I feel really pressured right now. Could we not eat at 6? Could we eat at 6:15?
Right.
It's a little thing.
Yes.
And it caught me in my drivenness. And I said, sure. Of course, hon. We both literally laid down on the couch, which lay down on the floor, and we just rested. We didn't do a thing. We just rested there. Mm. And then we got up and we're like, now making dinner sounds wonderful.
Right.
Like we're great. We're totally in a good place for that. So what we're trying to do now is every time I feel busy, I'm busy, I stop that.
Mm.
I stop that because I get caught up in it. And I think your body actually gets caught up in, you know, the cortisol and the adrenaline and cycle. And just stop and pause and go, I actually really don't need to do this as quickly as I'm doing it. I'd rather have the graciousness.
Yes.
I'm talking 5 minutes.
Yes.
Right.
These solutions will surprise you that what you thought was, I need to quit my job. I can't, you know, massive sweeping changes when actually there may be very accessible changes.
Yes.
Within your life.
Can I give one more example?
Please.
It's been a rescue for Sherry and I. We've been practicing lately because there's the whole context of how this plays out in marriage, right? And just messiness of your stuff plus my stuff equals multiplied stuff. And so we've been practicing this little regular kind of discipline where we're calling it take 10, where we were feeling the pressure of we're not getting enough time to have joy dates and to have business dates and to have, you know, all sorts of things we want to do. We realize, okay, we'll start with 10 minutes. And so you take 5 and just let me know you. And I'm going to just come to the center of your world for 5 minutes. And that's all you get. And then I take 5 and I'm going to let you in to my world and what's going on and what I'm thinking and where I'm at. Mm. And then we're done.
Yeah.
And this isn't processing.
Yeah.
This isn't a bigger conversation. It takes 10 minutes. It's 5 each. But we have found we can almost always find 10 minutes. When we can't find the 2 hours for a date or childcare, we can find 10 minutes. And just being known and knowing each other, it's similar, Stacey, to what you just described in that decision on going to the river, where nothing's changed, but to be understood, it shrunk the pain, and it felt like it made an on-ramp to receive God.
Mm-hmm. That's so great.
Okay, one more, and then I want to speak to the supernatural disruptions. One more thing for me that's been absolutely huge is this simple phrase, it's good enough. It's good enough. Like when I'm writing a book could be an unending process because it can always be better. There's always another story. There's a better way to phrase that. There's another quote. If I just do some more research, I just got to reach a place where I say it's good enough. That's all I have. In my very full life, I only have a certain block that I can write in. And when I'm done with that, I have to say that's good enough because otherwise I will create an unsustainable life. You know, I'll cram in more writing time and then I've got a race to work and I missed that, and I have created my own problems because I didn't say it's good enough. You know, we're making some films for the upcoming release of All Things New. And I am already aware that the artist in me is better, mm-hmm. better. We can make this better. We can, you know, and I got to back off and go good enough, because I will create my own crises of unsustainability if I don't say that's good enough, even in the way I rest. So Stacy was really gracious a couple of weeks ago, and she said, you really need a day off. You should go fishing. And I haven't been fly fishing, you know, all winter. It's not something really you can do unless you're like super committed here in Colorado, because it's freezing, you know.
Right.
Riverbanks are covered with ice and stuff. I used to be that guy. I'm not that guy anymore. But it was a lovely day. And I went down and I started fishing. And I was very aware of the tiredness. And I'm looking at the opportunity. And I said, you know, John, you know what you'll do with this. You will fish like a very aggressive fisherman and you will come home tired. You're going to play aggressively. You're going to, you know, just think of how you want to come home is where I start.
Uh-huh.
And I realize, oh gosh, you know what that involves? That involves a lot of sitting under that tree over there. Mm. I'm going to go sit under that tree. I just knew, like, if I want to come out of this day rested, I can't fish like I used to fish. I can't just like one thing, the next thing is catch another. Let's keep doing it. Try this fly, do the thing, hike up there. If you go in farther, you know, the fish are always farther. If you hike in farther, you know. And instead I thought, you know what I really need right now? I'm going to fish a little bit for about 20 minutes. I'm going to go sit under that tree. I'm just going to sit and just enjoy the beauty. Mm. It's good enough.
Yes.
It's good enough, right? Doesn't have to be amazing. It's good enough. Allows me not to create my own crisis life, right? My own unsustainable life. Folks, you know, we've done podcasts before on this, and we try and build Sabbath into our rhythm and try and get Sabbath every year. And that's different than vacation. You know, that's not family visits. That's not big exotic ski trips. You know, those things can be thrilling, but you do usually come home from those pretty tired. Sabbath, like actual soul rest things, you know, and we look forward to that. We build those things in. Gang, we're just going to pause and pick up the conversation next time. You've been listening to the Ransomed Heart podcast with John and Stacy Eldridge, Morgan Snyder.